Hey, this is Chuck Sickinga interviewing Mr. Reinhard Brock on August 26, 1991 for the Tri-Cities Museum.
What?
Speak right into you can speak normally. You don't pick it right up. You don't even have to.
Hi, this is Ray Brock. I go by Ray. Legally, my name is Reinhard. July 13, 1914. Spring Lake, Michigan, Lake Avenue.
That's fine for right now. Okay. So you have then lived here your whole life?
I've lived on this street, on the same side of the street. Moved five times, and I'm 76. On this street, I've lived 70 years.
Amazing. Say the least.
No, I'm in a rut.
Okay. Do you have an earliest recollection of living in the Tri-Cities?
Any specific thing?
No, anything you want to talk to, kind of get warmed up into this. What did you do for recreation as a child?
Well, in the younger days, where there weren't a whole lot of activity. I mean, always we'd have ball games, things like this, kids' games. But being a son of the only bakery in town, I was taught to get home and get to work. And we lived above the bakery. Well, let's see, I was 6 years old when we moved above the bakery. And my dad had a habit of tapping on the side window when he saw me going upstairs. Thought it was something to work. And that was really a lot about our activity, because we had a big family and there was a lot of those things to work. You know, as far as baseball or a ball game or something, that's primarily in the winter time. We had ice skating, and I know I had a sailboat on the water, and there was a few, not too many of them, probably a half a dozen at the best, and so winter time we didn't do anything. It was sailboat. My dad never fished, and I guess I don't fish. You know? I have been on Spring Lake on a boat probably a half a dozen times in my lifetime. Now that sounds ridiculous. I lived two blocks from the river, two blocks from the lake, and we were just always busy. Even later on, I never did get involved too much in the activity of water. And I think it was primarily because there was enough to occupy my time.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you were first born, you were living on Lake Street?
No, I was actually born on Lake and River, or Lake and River. Northwest corner.
And what was that neighborhood like then?
Was all vineyards. My dad owned that corner house that we lived in, and that was all vineyards. And people from Bandit Bay next door, they had vineyards. And across the street, Christmas, they had vineyards. And on the opposite corner was all DeWitt vineyards. So there wasn't too many houses right around there. But that the whipped vineyards that went into a residential area when, oh gosh, they must have been at least, oh, 50 years ago, that went into a residential area. But basically, as I say, it was vineyards.
Okay, and said you had a large family. Who all was living in your household?
I was one of nine. I had my brothers were born at stillbirth or soon after. And I am the only survivor of our black family.
Okay. Now, you said, how about school? Where did you start school?
Springwood School.
And?
Until we went to 10th grade, and then we went to Grand Haven.
What do you remember about school? What, the elementary school, what were the classes like?
I was great. No, I mean, hate to be so honest, but, well, it was a two-story school. You know, the elementary was a two-story school. It was right on the present top time as the park area behind the fire station is now in that area. And then later on in years, when we got 10th grade and finished up in Grand Haven. I remember Jay Holmes, superintendent of the school in those days. I see Les Drop or so too, but he was principal.
In what ways did the teachers teach?
Did what?
I mean, how were the teachers? What did they expect of students, and what did they do if students didn't meet those expectations?
Well, it was flat on the hand. I can't say we really got a lot of heavy punishment, no. We'd go out in the hall, we got to stand in the hall or something like this, maybe. And go to the principal's, superintendent's office, which was more or less we might have frightened us at the time, but it really wasn't that all that bad.
What sort of things would you have to do to get into that trouble?
Well, man, I could go.
Didn't
take much for me to get in trouble. No. I think it's the usual thing, you know. Probably cheating on somebody else's paper or teasing the girls, which I have a reputation of doing. and picking my share of fights, I think, you know.
Normal sorts of kids' trouble.
Yeah.
Okay, she got older and you moved into junior high and high school.
And we had the last junior high school.
Right, in Grand Haven. What was that like?
Well, let's see. Teasing girls again. first, I had my dad's car, and so I didn't have her around then. Funny to my wife. Now, if I could butt in here 1 minute.
Sure.
See that Governor Winthrop secretarial desk over there?
Mm-hmm.
I made that in high school.
You did? That's incredible.
Well, I'm all with that, but it's, thank you, but I made that in high school. Claude Bosworth was the in 12th grade, and Kenny King was the No, that's drop. No, Kenny King was at the 11th grade. So I was probably the only one that made anything of that size. They let me have time off in school, and I went down to furniture store where the people's bank is, and I measured that, each piece of that, and I have the plans yet to this day. I could show you that it cost me, my lumber cost me $4.61. And I had to finish it, that I had built in school, and I had to do the finishing of it when I got home.
Quite a job for a high school student.
Well,
how long did it take altogether?
Well, it took me all that for that whole year. I have an end table. Let's see. One the kids got. I got an end table that I made in the 11th grade. And it was turned legs. I think my son has that now. I've been a hoarder of antiques all my life. I mean hoarder of antiques. In this place that we're here, this entire room at one time was all filled with antiques.
Really?
I don't want to come and how many antiques we had at one time. I had shelves around every one of these walls. But I had saved antiques. My kids got most of them that we haven't sold. That copper kettle there was the bakery copper kettle where we boiled for making candy. That copper kettle there. The wind is blowing out this way.
Okay, sounds like you had a lot of fun adventures in school. Do you remember any specific ones that might be interesting to relate?
I about the only activity that I got in was track. Primarily because well, this may sound repetitious, but it was getting home and get to work. It didn't do it hurt us, I'll tell you that. We learned to work and we knew we had to work. But that's about the only activity that I got into activity. I would attend football games, things of that nature, but not as a profession.
So, as a young person, when you got home from school, you went right to work in the bakery, right? What did your job entail there? What were you doing?
Well, it's hard for you to understand. It was primary laying cookies. Or, in those days, my dad would have a hand-cranked machine. The pans would come through and cut off from a dropper, and we'd have to catch the pans on the end and put them on the rack. And after they were baked, then of course we had to pack them. And wash dishes.
And you enjoyed washing dishes, I can tell.
I don't wash dishes today. But as I say, we were taught to work. We had to work, and I can understand now, you know, it wasn't a big family. My dad left. There was plenty of work for us to do.
Mm-hmm. Now, with the bakery, back when you were in, I'm sure the bakery business has changed incredibly through the years.
Yeah.
We talked about that for a while. What were customers looking for in a bakery then? I mean, now when I think of a bakery, it's basically cookies, cakes, and donuts. Were you the like the major person selling bread in those days?
Oh, yeah. Well, I had an older brother, Sid. He went away to school in Chicago, right now, for banking. My brother Arnold, he was primarily a business editor. My brother Al worked in the shop, and myself and my dad. At one time, we had about 70 employees at one time. And we used to run a truck stop for cookies and baking with them. We used to do a lot of packaging besides having a store here. But in latter years, we had four or five outlets that we could have supplied in the retail. In the latter years, my brother Al and Arne and I had the business together. And I did primarily, I run the shop, and I did all the decorating. I used to work for hours on end decorating. Or that and putty cookies. Now, when I say putty cookies, you cut cookies by hand. You roll them by hand and cut them by hand. And then you put them on the end of the bench, and then all the kids or women would lay them on the pan. I was about the only one, well, I don't remember if my brother or I was a kid. I was very 12 years old. Although my brother started with Al and Arnie, they never did learn to cut cookies like we did. I would cut them on one side, bench my dad on the other. And we cut what we call a town cloth cookies. And we used to, my dad invented this formula himself. He developed it himself. And we had cut, we had to cut cookies in 24 to 26 cookies per pound. Never buried. We did, and we got them too thick, thick or thin. But as I say, in the years, the early years, my dad had a hand crank machine that would pull the pans underneath on rope. What about crude? It was real crude, but compared to today, you know. Today it's boom, boom, boom.
Mm-hmm. Other than cookies, say back when you were first old enough to work in the bakery, what other sorts of things was the bakery supplying?
Bakery supplying?
Yeah, other than...
Well, it was an all-around bakery. I mean, we had a night crew. We used to work 24 hours a day, sure. We had a night crew that was on the bread. We're up in the 5001, and during the day we'd make cookies and cake. We alternated every other day. We did a lot of decorating. A lot of decorating. I went to Minneapolis, Minnesota, and to Fenway Industrial Institute. I had a bread course and a decorating course. So I got plenty of decorating. Back in the 50s, in this area, when different churches were being built and schools were being built, I built a cake for every church and every school that was put in that area. I made Graham High School, I made that 2 4x8 sheets of plywood, and it was 8 inches high. Cake and decorated that entirely cake. The Times Magazine got wind of it. Came through the United Press, and the Times Magazine had gotten wind of it, and they sent a reporter up in Detroit, and they took pictures of it, of all the ingredients presumably go in there, and took pictures of the cake. And he told us at the time, he said it might not appear in the Time magazine, but like it was, excuse me, like, and but he said it all depends what goes by the editor's desk that day. You know, it never did get in the Life magazine, but we got 4 copies of it. Four loud copies. The bakery has been there since 1901, and my nephew sold it last year. It was 9 years that it's been there in the family.
Now, how did the bakery business change throughout the years?
Well, at first, it was like you see when my dad, in the early days, every housewife was a competitor, because housewife and education okay. So then, you know, gradually started weaning away from that way. And then in the latter years, the housewife got a lot of package cake. Package cookies, cookies, one thing and another. So there was constantly competitive, you know, in the market. Now, all your years ago, you wouldn't have the bakery in the stores like Myers and B&W and that, you know, now. But we had, we always had outlets along that we had in different bakeries. We had one in Two Forks, one on the Fuji, two in Grand Haven, we had larger outlets. We had 70 employees at one time, and we had 4 cups on the road. We covered Grand Rapids, Holland, Sealand, Muskegon, North Muskegon, Fire Park, all the cookies, all the places. But it's one of my dad's thoughts on it. It was we were the only, I don't know whether. I imagine my nephew will turn the formula over to this fellow now. God, I don't know. But other than that, he was the only one that ever had that formula. My dad was all. If it's come for you, you wouldn't know but Fred Sanders, the Sanders bakeries in Detroit. They used to be summer people. And every day they got a pound or two of pound of cookies. He had offered that we would wait him in and have them show them how to make our that cookie. They would, he would in turn make us, teach us how to make this candy, but it never did work out. We have gone, here's my brother, Al, and I would do to Detroit and went to all the standard baking several times.
As the years went by, towards the later years when you were running the bakery, were you still putting out the same products, or did it?
Oh, it varied. In other words, you know, a product would die out, and another one. But I've been out of the bakery for 30 years.
Oh.
I've been out of the bakery for, I went to, well, how it happened, but three of us brothers, we had the thing completely by the three units we were in, bought and one of them. My brother, Arnold, took the wholesale cookie business, and he endeavored to expand that with my brother Al and I had the retail business. Well, then, latter years, why, he wanted to get out of the wholesale cookie business, so we assumed that again. And we had, well, we always had good working relations, always. It was surprising, even our wives had a good working relation in we always did. And when my oldest nephew, Ron, Al's son, when he came out of the service, he thought we were going to get him into prison. Well, he would have to work under me, you know. Mm-hmm. So my brother Arnold had such a business. He wanted to get into the bookkeeping as a sideline for himself. So I took the wholesale cooking business and Al took the retail business. That's how we had split it all. But back in about 1958, when I went into the insurance business, I was in the insurance business and then I went into the retail business, or the real estate business. And I was in that 28 years.
Wow. I did not know that. Now you hear the name Brock and you just associate it with the bakery.
I was in real estate up until about 2 years ago. We go south every morning. And we were figuring out the other day we've gone south for 22 years. And it's difficult to come back and try and get some clients again. Change the method of doing business. The rules and regulations change. So it got so that it was a tough thing to come back and, you know, for 6 months and break all in again, and by 6 months we'd come south again.
Yeah. How did the depression affect your family?
You know? It is hard to think. We never were in want, let's say this. You know what I mean? Was always taken. There was always something to eat there. And we always had work. For a lot of them that didn't have work, we always had work. Because the kids could always work. And as far as food goes, my mother could always steamroll the old bakery. We could use that, but really I can't. I've often thought about it because I don't think we experienced the depression. I know my folks did, I'm not saying that, but as far as kids go, the family goes, I don't think that we really felt the depression the way a lot of people do. I know I was my wife and I often talk about it, and what she went through and what I went through, it's entirely different. It's entirely different life. Because although we weren't wasn't wealthy, we always had the means of doing things.
Did the bakery business suffer badly at all during those years?
Oh, no question. No question. The merchants would buy script from the village or whatever, and then they would pay off part of their employees and part of their wages and part of what they call script. And they in turn could take that script and go to the other merchants and buy merchandise from them, and when they didn't have money.
Was that like a promissory note?
Yeah, forget. Because all the merchants had to contribute to those things. My folks, my dad would pay them so much in dollars and cents, and then give them so much scrip. So they could go to the grocery store and turn that scrip in to get some groceries. Get some money.
So I trust that you might need some.
Yeah.
Can't think of everything at once.
Okay, as you got older into your teenage years and the high school years, did you have any more free time? What any sorts of recreational activities you were into socially? Or
I tell you, as I say, it may sound strange, because, well, I tell you what, even when we were on the business, I can remember my wife would come down to the shop with the young kids, and I'd have to go back to the shop and make out the orders for night crew, you know, and these other people around, they'd be going off to a ball game, or if they weren't participating, they were active in watching the ball game. I just never got into it because, well, you know, it some had to do the business.
Right.
And we had a, even latter years, we weren't working 24 hours, but I tell you, 15, 18 hours was nothing. I used to come home on Friday night about 7 o'clock and get 3 or 4 hours sleep and go back and work another 12 hours. It was a lot of work.
Very busy.
We always had to cope the fires. You know,
they had to cope the fires for that. Well, that was in the oven. Now we have gas ovens.
But you used to have to go down and fire that all the time.
How did that work?
Well, we had, there were two chambers in the back, and we'd get our coke from the gas company. And we would have to fire this thing up constantly. Especially, you know, like on Sunday night, we'd have to go down and we'd start on Sunday afternoon. So the thing would get up to temperature and the night crew would come on. But otherwise, we kept that oven going 24 hours a day. We shut it down Saturday night. And I can remember as a kid, why Saturday night was always scrubbing floors. My dates would have to be about 9, 10 o'clock at night. I can remember my dad used to say, well, you aren't going out now. And I sure have to go out now because we, in other words, we let the oven turn off, cool down Saturday afternoon. And the water, we heated the water for our washing from the oven. I put the coil inside the oven. And so we had to take a bath and shave and down on Saturday night, and then I'd want to go out. But my dad used to say, you aren't going to go out now, I'm sure. He wouldn't. No, sure. I didn't know her in those days.
What sort of things did you do when you went out then?
Oh, no, come on.
You don't want to tell her from me.
Oh. Okay, we'll try and get you off the hook here. What sort of things did teenagers in general do for dates? What were the social activities?
I tell you, they had where the Del Mar is now, that was Lakeside, skating rink. I can go show you a picture of that.
That's the barn?
The barn was after that.
Oh, okay.
This was before the barn. The barn was where the Bicentennial Park is there now.
Oh.
But this was a roller skating rink. And in fact, that's not the first night we went together. No.
You went to see me from? That was the first night.
That was an open air. I mean, you just have panels that they could swing up, and so it would be completely open.
We used to have main bands down the vault for dancing on the weekends. Main bands.
And then the barn came along, and then the Fruitport Pavilion came along, and the old music box and the Keegan came along.
All
led to my downfall. Yeah, 54 years with her.
That's pretty good.
For me, that's a long time.
We went together for 3 years before we got married.
I didn't have enough sense to keep running.
I'm glad you just weren't fast enough.
No.
Okay. Were you involved with the war at all?
No.
No.
Because I would get excited. They sent me to 4F. Bakers were hard to get. And although I was the youngest one of the bakers, my brother got me a 4F because they just wasn't any help. And I didn't realize as much at the time. And I've gone over some of my archives, but this is what I think was the reason I was passed up on Tommy. I got called up every 3 months, you know, but I never get involved. Being one thing we didn't delve on, and that's Boy Scout Troop 14.
Boy Scout Troop 14.
I don't think that I enrolled in 27, but I think the troop was in, I think it was in operation about 6 months before. But I was the only one that of the Troop 14 rotate, that I was the only one of them. In fact, that was the first one. They had the records of it, that I'm the only one that first one that had Eagle Scout. I got Star and Life, and then I went up to Scoutmaster. When our kids were little,
yeah. So was scouting a real popular activity?
Oh, yes, very much so. More so than it is today.
Yeah.
Because you've got too many outside actors. In the Little League, my son started in scouting a little bit, but there were so many things that attracted their attention. And today, the same. My grandsons, they never got into it. But, hey, they were in bowling. They were in baseball, football. They just got in. They followed one right after the other. New school, and they never got to. My oldest son wanted to, my grandson wanted to get in scouting, but my son told him, either one or the other, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So they were great. They were great for football and baseball. And they are yet to this day. Both of my grandsons play on, Grand Rapids Senior.
Yeah.
What sort of things did you do with the scouts?
The scouting?
Yeah.
Oh, locally, we had summer trips, you know, and campground where we go to. The first one that I went to was Grand Rapids Camp. It was down at Port Sheldon. And I regret to this day. Jerry Ford was there, and I didn't realize it at the time, but I'd seen some of his pictures, and he was on it, and for the life of me, I cannot find my pictures. I cannot. I told him at the museum that I would go home and look for them, and I don't know what had happened.
Did you know Ford when you were?
Well, no, that time I did, you know. Okay. They were from Grand Rapids. So this local didn't have any campground. We had to win the campground. Latter years, my dad instituted to get a camp started up in New England. My dad got pretty much involved in scouting. In fact, he got the Silver Beagle Award. And was one of the first ones in this area.
Now, when you went to these campgrounds, what sort of activities did they have for you?
Oh, swimming, canoeing, hiking, building scaffolds, one thing or another, you know, sitting in front of the nature. Oh, I like it. I got pretty much involved starting, but as I say, more so than a lot of them. Of my age, probably. I was talking to Harvey Spolton the other day. Harvey Spolton, you know, the lawyer on Grand Island. He was in our scouting club when I was in there. Yeah. Cutting bills. Elmer Lindley. City Hall. That's put that board down. I can show you a picture of it. But we met upstairs in the Lincoln Hall. And then we, in Bill's property, there was an old Spring Lake Bank. We met upstairs in the old Spring Lake Bank on the corner of the Savage, where Bill's just hardware is, swimming in the swimming shop.
Yeah. Do you recall any interesting stories from scouting and really outstanding, memorable events?
Number one, I down there grounded.
Really?
As I said, we're camped down at the Fort Shelby. And I never learned to swim. And Herschel Bates, he was a director from Grand Rapids, and he got me a third time down.
How did you get?
Well, we had to go off on him, and just to get in and start swimming. And there wasn't one. And it's right now, it's bottom. Herschel Bates, he went and down and got me. But I never learned. Well, I think, again, we didn't do much activity as far as the water goes. We got older, tangled fishing, stuff like that. Money. We never got into it. But my dad didn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
We had work, so we didn't get into it. I don't think any of my brothers, I don't think any of them got into it. I mean, especially any time. I got in a little bit when my son started going into it, but other than that, we never got involved in fishing or hunting. The same way, I have a lot of friends that are in camp on do something with a car. That shop we ever had, because anything had to be done, we just caught the rods and fixed it. And to this day, I'm blank when it comes to power.
Me too.
Huh?
Me too.
And I shouldn't. We travel the motorhome, for 20 years. I should know something about a car when I get down the road, but I don't. We just call up the garage and they fix it.
I was thinking a minute ago, getting back to the war years, what effect did that have on the bakery business?
It was getting help. It was a big thing.
Yeah.
The fellow got to work long hours because they just didn't get enough help to make the stuff and to get the material for it. We used to get 600 pound barrels of corn syrup. And we had a spigot. I could see my dad now. They had a big spigot on the bottom. And you go slow, You'd open that spigot up, and man, it would just gurgle out of just the width that we used that lot for our sugar. And then you forget it, and the first thing, I'll be on the floor. he used to say, get sugar, get it over with, but he couldn't get sugar. Raisins, I remember my brother Arnold did a lot of buying in those days, and we had them all stored in boxes. Raisins, I think he got a carload of that time, and they got wet, and man, good share of them got lost, because then they got moldy and we had to throw them out.
Mm-hmm.
But flour and sugar, very hard.
Because of the ration?
Well, yeah. And my brother used to have to make an accounting of every pound, what we used, what we manufactured from it, because I didn't get in too much of it. I was working in the shop in those days.
No. For obviously the resources were being used for the troops and that. Did you?
Right.
The reason they had rationing was to save resources they could feed the army, and that was the bread and stuff the army made over here, or did they make it over there? They make it over here and freeze it and ship it?
I think they made most of the army. Especially where there was a regiment, and they'd make them right up.
Okay.
That was a problem.
hotel. There wasn't any way a private bakery like yourself could get a government contract. Now, as far as business went, did you sell more? Was there more of a demand for your products during the war years? Or?
Yeah, we could sell it, we were amazing. We just couldn't make enough of
couldn't
it.
Couldn't make enough of it.
Couldn't make enough of it. And after the war, the same way. We couldn't make enough of it. We couldn't
live in Spring Lake all your life, and on this street for the last 70 years, I would imagine you've seen pretty much every change that's happened.
I'm sure it was.
What?
And not only changes, but this building tore down and that one, another one built up. In that way, it's a big change from what we saw as kids. In fact, this lot, I can never remember a house built on this lot here. We bought this 25 years ago. But I built the first house on this lot. I can't remember another house ever being built. The house next door, because I knew these people when we were kids. And Mrs. Fowler used to say to me, she said, "Where am I?" She said, "My husband, keep him home one day." She said, "Oh," she said, "I thought it's a nice place, but there's nice trees on it." When I got there, the trees are about that big. Now the trees are in condition. They're going to have to cut down because they're all diseased. But no, there's a lot of changes, a lot of buildings in the village that you can't imagine from what 70 years ago.
Well, let's say 60, 70 years ago, if you were looking at Savage Street, what would you see?
First place, we had two lanes of traffic and a car parked on both sides, if you can imagine that. We always had a car parked on both sides and they had two lanes of traffic. Today, they have room enough for two lanes to get through. Oh, we had men urban. That came from Grand Avenue, Muskegon, and they switched. Within my cookie store, the food court, and that came down right through town.
The track right in the middle of Savage Street?
Yes, right in the middle. In fact, it was the FMC bank is now. That old in the urban would take it out of about 4 or 5 years ago. They took it to Cooperville. And then they're going to use that eventually for that old train station.
Okay, now. Did that run on like a third rail or did it run on a wire?
No, on the wire.
Okay.
And then when we used to have the summertime, they would also have open cars, and that would go clear to Grand Haven to Highland Park, where the Delmar is now. That's where they turned around. That's where they came back. I kept thinking of myself had the last, we rode the last. And I went over to Grand Haven. That's another problem down here. And then we had buses after that. And we rode the last bus to Grand Haven and back.
There were buses?
Yes. After we got rid of the name of the urban quit. But this was the tracks were laid right down to the middle town. And then bricks, you know, on both sides into the middle.
Was it a brick road then?
That's right. It was sort of a flat top. On the outside, or gravel, whatever it was. But I mean, back of the inner urban, the inner urban building there, they had a big warehouse in the back, and they would run in that, they had tracks for in the back, and they would run the inner urbans in there and take off the freight into the warehouse.
Oh, they carried freight too, inner urban?
Freight?
Yeah.
Yes. My dad used to get a lot of his freight in on the inner urban.
Oh.
I got some pictures here where the inner room would stop right in the middle in front of the bakery and they would take the freight right off there and take it right at the curb.
Now, were there still a lot of travel being done by horse?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes. I was thinking how we used to use the old speaking about horses, there was a big barn behind us, bakery. And we had one fellow out of the country. He was from about twice a week. And I told the other fellows not to do it, you know, but they kept doing it anyway. they used to tie a wire across from both wheels and the grass. You know, when he'd start up, boom. Then he'd back up and they'd come up underneath. And we had, you talk about activity, I think that activity.
Yeah,
oh, I was a hell of a we used to have a candle off the rake, you know, dark rake. Uh-huh. And we'd go and put that underneath the blankets, like a big seat. Half of you sat on that thing going, how are you going, Justice? Oh, yeah. I didn't work all the time, I tell you. I can remember, I tell you, now down along the lake, where, let's say, from Lake Avenue to Exchange Street, but there probably wasn't. I don't know how, when I was a kid, well, from Conkles, I'll tell you, from Conkles to Lake Avenue, there wasn't a house along. It was all lake. In fact, this, I won't forget when my grandfather died, where they tried to locate me, and I was down along the, it was on a Saturday afternoon, I checked in, and I was building a shack down along the lake there, when they finally located me. But, see, I lied to him, you know, I had to work all the time. that was all with woods and bare ground. And edging. Oh, God. From the old sawmill. Edging. We just pulled them out and built shacks on it. We had fun.
What other sorts of changes have you seen in Spring Lake? Just on the main street, which is living here, that you would consider to be major changes.
Oh, we had some taxis here to go, but never did do anything, you know. And then we had, as I say, buses. And then for a long while, the buses petered out, and for a long while, we didn't have any, public transportation. Between here and Grand Haven, only other than our own, you know, kind of car. There used to be, right where the Holiday Inn is now, that was the bridge was right there across the Grand Haven. And before the other big bridge was built. And that was also an inn, the Rover went over that same bridge. They had to swing that one whenever a boat was close to.
Mm-hmm. How about traffic? Was that, I imagine, I don't know when 96 was built, but was traffic a lot lighter before that?
Oh, yeah, you think that? Well, I'd say that's what. 31 went through. I think that was when they put the new highway through. That must have been. Oh, I'd be guessing that. But they never had the traffic that they had. You haven't got the truck traffic they got today, you know. The truck was a pickup truck or a dump truck. Didn't have any semi. Kind of imagine four lanes of traffic out in front.
Yeah.
As far as on that side of the street,
maybe the north side.
North side of the street, the house in the corner, that was a Parker's house, and that was the only thing on that whole street other than the big home on the corner. There was nothing on that side of the street. on the next block, the only one was the DeWitt home. Then they had Reisdorf, the second one from the corner was Reisdorf. In fact, as I going through my papers the other day, I'm a hoarder, and I come across a bill from Dr. Reisdorf for some tea for my dad.
What about, like, where Christ Community Church is now? That's a fairly new building, isn't it?
Christian Church?
Christ Community.
Christ Community. Oh, yeah, that is about the newest one we've got.
Right.
That's the newest. That corner, Christian Church had the corner.
Mm-hmm.
There's Christian Church. Then there was, there were two houses. The Christ Community was the... In the back, that wasn't the original one. That was their original one was over on the Crawford for the Reformed Church.
Was there anything there before Christ Community went up?
Not in that. Well, other homes. There were some homes there, and also in the back there was homes. But there wasn't too much activity. Too many. You take, well, for instance, where Shields Fabric is now. That's where Sternlight Bank used to be.
Okay.
That was then. Prior to that, was on the Hills corner. Was the Sternlight Bank before the original one? Across the street, across that was a constant big hotel in there.
There was a big hotel there?
Yeah.
Did it used to get a lot of traffic?
Well, that was built with after the Spring Lake, what they call the Spring Lake Hotel, down by Bear Oak Boulevard.
That mostly a tourist place where
Yes. Towners
would come and stay.
What do you think this whole section through the Silver Point and Villa Park, that used to be all just in the summer parking lot. Now they're year round, but you know, 99% of them. But that used to be all summer parking lot.
Now, did the summer people that lived there, did they mix socially with the year round people, or did they, were they kind of a group all
of course, that's hard to say because they patronize local people, yes, but as far as socializing with them was, it's pretty hard to say.
Okay, when you got into the real estate business, what did you notice? Did you notice a lot in terms of growth in this area?
Yes, very much so. Kind of wish I'd gotten into it 10 years sooner, or I stayed 10 years longer in the way. I was talking with a brother, you know, and he wrote the thing. And the apartment was on the Meyer the other day. And the houses we used to sell for $18,000. Now they're $50,000. Unbelievable. Going through tonight's paper, the majority of it got in $200 or $300. You know, it's just unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable. I'm glad I'm not in. I think it would depress me to try to sell some of this stuff, you know, back 15, 20 years ago. we sold those same houses for practically nothing, you know. I went with Fred Bride, you don't know, his office was where the Interurban was, down that corner. Yeah. I went down to Lansing to take my exam on a Monday, and Wednesday he had my license. He called me up and said, "Best stop for work." But I like the river. I really do. Much more than I did in insurance. I mean, the insurance business, because you have to be able to be a type of individual that you're back to hurt up at the door. And I never was back in, been a back and hurt. So. I went in primarily, I went in for group backing. And I made good on backing what I had, but I got so into real estate where I discarded out the insurance. In fact, as I gave up my license, Doc Dental Life out of California, I gave up my license 2 years ago to Occidental. I was with Mutual of Omaha, one of them to start with, and got out of them in 18 months. Good thing I got to in autumn. But I was with Time. At the time, I was with Mutual of Omaha and Money. An accident, I stepped in the wrong way. Out of California. But I was with Fred Broad 8 years with him. I was with Jim Bola about 8 years or 9 years. With Rush O'Brien here, 4 or 5 years ago. Yeah. So I like you.
What did you like about the real estate?
I like people.
People.
Right. I guess, well, most people I can get along with, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Some of them I couldn't. But I do. I really enjoyed the real estate business. I didn't. Of course, I was used to the odd hour. My wife wasn't. She was used to it from Tampa, never coming home. But it's night work, not a day work. Afternoon till one evening, you know. But I think that was because I enjoyed getting out with people, and I did good. I wasn't fantastic salesman at it, but I made him a good living. That's the main. I had fun for what I do. I've always enjoyed whatever I've done.
Great.
Up this 22 years ago. That's your apartment here. That's the last. This is the last real estate we have. I remember anything else.
What other changes have you seen in the Spring Lake area as a whole during your lifetime?
Oh, the lakefront. Yeah. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Condominiums along Spring Lake, north, south, on the river. Look at the condominiums on the river. This last one they built, down by Ford, that we used in the tour park, the credit park, which is not. So, years ago, when we were kids, there was just some fishing shacks in there. That's where it was. And you take all the stairs, but in any place you want, on Lake. And they just build up. I can hardly believe it.
Do you think that's good or bad?
Oh, sure, good. They're going to spend their money somewhere. Who's going to run or get the something? No, I enjoyed it when I was in there, and I'm glad I'm out before. As I say, you know, 4, 5, 6 months are gone, and you come back and start over again. That's it. And I have too much fun more than
Have you noticed a change in people in the town for years? Or in the personality of the community,
well,
if there is such a thing?
There isn't togetherness like when we were kids. You know what I mean?
Look, everybody knew.
Everybody knew each other. I bet I could name you a fort, but people from church. And I was kidding, we knew everybody. I could, down the street, I could name, by the name of 9% of them. Today, four houses this way, I know one, and there's that way, I know two. People still know them. This is, TV has got a lot to do with it.
Yeah.
You know, that's all I, you used to get together with families, we play games at home, you know, have a radio on or something. You just don't do that.
What's, for the particular radio programs everybody wants to?
No, I can't say, pardon my folks, we never, oh, whatever years they had a radio. We never had a TV. I think your mother gave us the first TV.
We didn't have a TV, I thought we had a TV for a while.
But I can remember having, hearing the first radio. It was Sam Falls' old house where the bank is there now. That's my first experience with the radio.
Do you remember what you heard?
No. No. Probably couldn't find them out. They weren't on radio? Peterson's, I think, that's on the first radio.
Yeah,
TV. Went
off the neighbors
and
let the TV
first. Yeah. Crazy. They don't have a VCR. You know, hey, I get all the information off my TV, put it on. My tenants got cable and styrofoam. You watch what's going on the TV, and you can get yourself glued to that idiot box.
You can.
Yeah, you do. I gotta get in my motorhome and get going someplace. Even when we've got a black TV and a color TV and a motorhome, but we don't use them too much. Our kids both have VCRs. Friend of ours, Paul McKeegan, they started recording on us in the old 2 years ago down in Tucson. And he was so surprised we didn't have a VCR, but it's what people like, you know?
Yeah. Hey, well, I am out of questions. If you have anything to add, if you think I've missed, that seems important.
You know, when they put this first trolley through here, they had Clinton Trotter and myself go along with the to make the report recording. And we were so disappointed because Clinton and I, we pointed out different houses, you know, this, that, and the other, who lived there, as we were years ago. And but they said, well, we don't have time to go work and tell people to go to the street, you know? They don't have time going on with the drivers, and they have time to point things out. And we had, I think they took us twice around and pointing out different houses. People where they lived, you know, and we were kids. But I don't know. We've been on it once, and never heard a word of that thing, you know? You got to put on what people want.
Would you say what people want today is what quite a bit different?
Yes, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
In what way?
Well, they want to know today what happened today, but, you know, not what happened 50 years ago.
Wow. Do you think people were more interested in history 50 years ago, or?
I think as a whole, I think they are. Really. They just don't care what happened yesterday or 25, 30 or 70 years ago. Who knows? As you know, from your standpoint of it, do you get a much activity down at the museum?
Get a lot. We had a lot last year. This year's been slow, I think, because of the economy. But the thing I noticed is that most of it are older people who come in and want to see the old stuff like they had when they were a kid. Right?
See, I salvaged when they tore down the old city hall. They had the tables and chairs that were restored. So I salvaged the president's table and chair, and I gave up the museum down there. And the same way with Mulder's Jeep store. I salvaged the table, the counter out of that, that had a finger control in the, and that, for the cash register, I give that to the museum too. Well, the fountain at the village, got there and made a parking in Spring Lake. Well, I bought the house at 114, and that, I think I bought that house because I'd had the fountain was in that backyard. But, I give that to the museum, and then they turn around and give it to the village here. Which is all right. What else they give the village at the museum that night?
I thought you gave several things
at night. But as I say, I don't say I'm a hoarder of it, I'm a preserver of it. Yesterday, years ago, but
the same way with, I don't believe with any of our family, no, not my sisters, but I mean, right, they didn't attempt to save anything of the basement. No. But I got so many things that I saved from the big grandeur. And, I'm a preserver or a holder, I don't know which.
Half-rat.
Preserver. Much more.
You want to shut those out, I'll show you what.